Yeah, another Green Divas radio show. Hey, Green Diva Lynn.
Hey, Green Diva Meg, how are you doing?
Well, for a change, we're having this winter weather that, you know, you're usually having in Chicagoland.
Oh, I hear you.
Yeah,
it's
well,
nice and sunny here in Chicagoland.
Well, isn't that special?
No snow.
Well,
I mean, we have snow on the ground, but it's not.
It's sunny blizzard. Now, but we were had the blizzard that wasn't, you know. We had the big Juno, the big, you know, hoo-ha about this gigantic, you know, blizzard
from hell.
Hurricane
force winds coming.
Yeah, and you know what? I think it did hit some areas that way, but they were preparing most of the state of New Jersey and all inland in Connecticut and New York State, and it really just kind of went coastal. Not postal, it went coastal. So anyway, yeah, we had a whole – they were preparing us for like 2 feet of snow. We have like 6 inches.
Not bad.
Well, it's not bad, but the entire state ground to a halt. And, you know, thusly, if you hear little voices in the background, you know, we've been kind of inside with the kids for a couple days.
Right.
But
feeling a little stir crazy?
A little bit. Yeah. I mean, I've been out shoveling a bit, injured myself a tiny bit. So I'm taking a break from that at the moment.
And you're standing right now, right?
Yeah, yes.
So I'm standing also here in Chicagoland, just to be on equal footing.
Well, it's an interesting way to, you know, it's kind of energetic, right?
Yeah, I'm feeling like maybe I should do some jumping jacks.
Don't go overboard, darling.
I'll start breathing heavily.
We have an excellent show.
When isn't it excellent?
Yeah, okay.
That is the question.
All right, that's true. But you participated in our really fun feature, which was with Raffi.
Oh, I know.
And like,
Raffi was great.
Anybody who has children or has been around children much knows of Raffi and his fantastic magical voice and his songs that he writes and the stories that he tells. But he does so much more. And a lot of it has to do with connecting children to the earth and caring for the earth.
Right.
And even us adults. So we are really excited. And I
and
think
we were swooning, basically.
We were really, we were like star-struck. A couple of starstruck, you know, mommies. It was ridiculous. And if we have time, and I forgot about this, Lynn, when we were planning,
yeah.
But we're going to try to make time to play at least one of the songs we got permission to play.
Oh, that's right.
So stay tuned for that. We also had Rich Fuller from Pure Earth, and they had a big study come out this week about some good news about reducing pollution in developing nations in developing communities around the world that have anyway, there's just some really interesting good news and statistics.
Right, and we'll be doing a post about that.
Yeah, and then, of course, we're just going to rebroadcast the Foodie Butter Better Butter Coffee.
Better Butter Bing.
That was your term for it. Which I'm back to. I had one yesterday. My gallbladder was like, no, I don't like that. And so I took a break, did some healing.
Does it talk like that? Is that the voice it talks in?
Yeah. Well, it's probably.
I imagine a lower voice for some reason.
Please, no more Better Butter Coffee. But I did some healing work, fixed myself, kind of got more balanced. And so I had one yesterday, and my gallbladder has not chimed in yet. So.
Well, moderation, I guess, is key.
Hello, gallbladder. Hello. No, nothing. Okay. So, and then we're also going to have a Joey and Holly Baird from the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardeners talking about planting some seeds. I think.
Yes, and in our broadcast schedule, I thought it said startling pepper seeds.
Startling. Well, isn't that startling?
Starting pepper seeds.
And you have a cute product review of a sweater.
I do. Don't tell anybody.
Okay, I won't.
It'll be a surprise.
Well worth listening to. And, of course, our favorite, buygreen.com, you know, great place to go, your trusted source for green products for home, office, family. And you can go to our site and go to our marketplace and click in the top. Click through and shop your brains out, people.
It helps to keep the lights on, as I say, over at the Green Divas when you shop there.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, you didn't mention Earth Matters.
Oh my, I did not. And
with
I don't know
Bill
which
Curtis.
I don't know which one we have on this week, but people will just have to listen. Because every week they have something interesting. We've been talking about Arctic Circle, Arctic animals, the definition of climate change. Let's see what's on this week. There you go. And so speaking of keeping the lights on, let's go back and let's mention GDGD Radio, our fabulous network. And, you know, we are still raising money. We decided to do a marathon rather than a sprint. And we're going till
Earth Day.
Earth Day.
April 22nd.
At which time Lynn will strip naked and we will professionally paint her body.
Nobody's going to see me stripping naked. They'll just see me streaking through Chicago
wearing body paint. So, yeah.
I'm not going to show everybody the whole process.
Okay. Well, you know.
Just saying.
So, and that's only going to happen if we reach our goal. So we're really, really asking people, and sort of a fun thing. The truth is we have awesome green swag for all our contributors. We're not just asking you to donate. We're going to give you stuff. We're going to give you really good stuff. Lynn has got that all figured out. What kind of reward are we talking about this week?
Well, we have a Green Divas reusable tote bag that has some goodies in it. And for only, it's only $40, you get the tote bag, you get a $20 gift certificate for buygreen.com, and a mystery environmental book, and a mystery green product, all for just $40.
Yeah,
and it helps us, and look at that, you get all that good stuff.
And let's be honest, it's going to be worth more than $40.
It is worth a lot more
than
$40.
And I love our totes. If they say, I'm a good green diva because I remembered my bag.
Right.
Because how many of us, like, you know, forget the bag.
And it's got a lot of depth to it. It holds a lot. It's sturdy.
Actually, it's a really nice size. I thought it was small when I first saw it, and then I was like, oh, wow, that thing's big. So, okay. No. And by the way, GDGD Radio is cranking. We're starting to get a lot of listeners. We have great shows other than the Green Divas Radio Show stuff, which you love. We have, like we said, Earth Matters with Bill Curtis. We have Mrs. Green's World. Mm-hmm. We have the Mike Novak Show. And we've got more coming all the time. So please, please just keep listening. Share it up. Let people know about it. And we do have apps now. So you can listen from, you can stream it from your smartphones, through your car or whatever, with iTunes, Google Play, Microsoft app, and iTunes is still in the process. Apparently, it's a slow process. And BlackBerry.
Don't forget the BlackBerry.
Crackberry.
So help support this whole thing, because we're trying to amplify the voice of Green Reason. Go to fundgdgd.com and get that tote bag, man.
Yeah, or some of the other cool swag. We have a whole bunch of T-shirts, really cute T-shirts here in the studio.
T-shirts.
And there's all kinds of other great things. So please, please support the Green Radio Revolution right here, right now, people. We're having fun, and we appreciate your help. Now, let's go listen to some Raffi and then get into this great show. Please stay tuned, people. Lots coming up.
Children,
sustainability,
love for generations, kindness and compassion,
sustainability,
restoring every nation. On and on and on,
sustainability,
the more we get together, vibrant democracy,
everywhere engaged,
our health and our liberty,
top priority,
a new global currency.
Overwhelmed by environmental news? Listen to the Green Divas My Earth 360 Report for the latest eco news bits from around the globe. carefully curated and born by our need to say WTF. But we also love to share encouraging stories and, of course, ways that you can make your voice count for the Earth. It's not just my Earth, it's our Earth. And together, we can make a difference. Well, we're catching up with Rich Fuller, who is the founder and CEO of Pure Earth. And I just love the sound of that Pure Earth. I don't even know what that is, but for some reason, you know, I think I do. I feel like I have an image of it. And I love the concept of having that as a goal. And he is out there trying to help communities around the globe who are developing to create less toxic pollution from energy sources or variety of things that are occurring in developing countries. And they've got some big news coming this week. Well, by the time this airs, it will be out. Hi, Rich.
Hey, Meg. Nice to talk with you.
Yeah, so you've been busy. There's a report coming out tomorrow that I think our listeners are really going to be interested in hearing about.
Right. We're bringing out a report that showcases countries that have been doing something good on pollution. We've been working on pollution in the poorer countries of the world now for about a decade and a half, and trying to get them to, you know, take some action and deal with some of these problems. And there are enough good things going on out there that we need to celebrate a little and show the examples, people have done the right thing.
Well,
that's the report.
I love that there's good news. I mean, honestly, because there's way too much bad news, and we all need to be encouraged. And I do think, especially here in the U.S. where we're based, but we have listeners all over the world, that we, especially here in the U.S., have to become aware and just have it in our consciousness that not everybody has clean air. Or even though you wouldn't call our air clean all the time, but that they're
not as bad as some other countries. Let me tell you. I mean,
yeah,
you can go into. We've all seen Beijing and those pictures where the camera will pan down the street and you can't see more than a city block before it fades into some gray murk.
Yeah, that's
And Beijing now is nowhere near the worst of the cities in terms of air pollution these days. The worst of them now is places you wouldn't imagine. Delhi in India, for example,
ranks
really high up there.
And is it primarily from
in Pakistan
energy production, or is it a combination of things?
Well, now, air pollution comes from a series of different problems, and they vary a little bit from place to place. But the big three or four are, first of all, diesel cars, especially low-grade diesel, the cheap stuff with lots of sulfur in it.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. The second is from coal-fired power plants, especially if they're in urban areas, you know, near the city or in the middle of the city. They'll put out a lot of particulates as well. And the third one is often something quite local. For example, in Delhi, it's during the winter, the watchmen who are looking after people's houses, they'll warm themselves with a piece of coal in a warming dish at the front of the house during the winter.
Interesting.
And that's enough to make, you know, quite a substantial part of the pollution in the air.
Wow. Yeah, well, I suppose if you have a lot of people doing that, that's, you know, just flat out, yeah. Now,
right.
One of the statistics I saw you know, in the press release about your wonderful report, the scary statistic was that like 8.9 million people died, I think it was 2012 was the statistic, from toxic pollution around the globe. I mean, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, it's kind of scary how big the problem is. And this is all from WHO. This is all impeccable source data from the World Health Organization.
Right, right.
But when you add it all up, all of the different forms of pollution out there end up killing one out of every seven people who die on the planet.
Really?
So, and the crazy thing about it is that 95% of those deaths are in the poor countries. This is not a U.S. or a European or an Australian or a Japanese problem so much anymore. This is almost all of it in those developing countries that are that have got a lot of industry, a lot of mining going on,
right.
But they haven't done very much about their pollution problem.
Right, they're having their sort of industrial revolution.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, because I think the next statistic was that like 8.4 million of those people are dying, are from these developing communities and countries.
Correct, which is that 95%. Now, the numbers are really interesting. The largest is people who are killed because of exposure to outdoor air pollution, which is that
right.
air we've been visualizing in Beijing.
Right.
The second biggest, about another 3 million, is from people who die because they have open fires in their houses
right.
and they don't have good cook stoves.
Right, right.
So they're breathing in particulates, especially during the winter, all the time while they're cooking their food.
Yeah.
And that's a huge source of death in the world.
Yeah.
Then there's about 750,000 people who die because they don't have access to sanitation. So they get bacterial diseases and dysenteries and things because they don't have proper toilets and those kind of things. And then there's about another roughly 1 million people who die because they're exposed to chemicals or contaminated soils or things related to industry.
Right, right. Yeah,
So that's how the numbers break down.
At somewhere along the line, we had done a story about cotton farming in India and the pesticide levels in some of these farms that just run off right into the water, and the farmers, the statistics on them and their families becoming ill is just very upsetting.
Yeah, that's a perfect example. There's so many places around the world like that, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. So tell me a bit more about the work that Pure Earth does specifically to help these communities and help us to understand what's happening.
We work with a collaborative model, not doing advocacy, but instead providing support and assistance to communities and governments and organizations in places that have very bad pollution.
Right.
And what we'll do is we'll identify a place where, you know, sometimes life expectancy might only be 40 years
wow.
because it's so toxic. And then we'll work out, how do you fix it? And who knows best how to do that? And there are experts in the U.S. and around the world who really have solved these problems, you know, dozens of times.
Right.
And we'll bring them out to that poor community. And we'll have them train the local governments and agencies on what to do. And then we'll go and find the money to implement the solution as well. So
wow.
sometimes we're bringing the World Bank in, or sometimes we're finding donors from our own set of supporters who'll provide money to us.
So micro-lending might be applicable for these kinds of projects?
No, we don't do micro-lending. These
okay.
projects usually mean, you know, digging up very contaminated soil.
Oh, okay, so
and moving it somewhere safe, for
significant
example, with
lead
yeah. poisoning.
Yeah,
yeah, and they often need $50,000 or perhaps $1 million at the most to clean up some of these places.
Yeah, right. Wow. Yeah, just it's
so often they're small amounts of money. So we'll just, you know, bring whatever resources we can and take it over there. And most of our senior gray-haired technical people who come over and help us, they're all these, you know, experts who love doing this because they're doing something really great to
yeah.
solve, you know, big problems and look after lots of children. So they're often donating their time for free.
I love that senior gray-haired engineers
yeah.
and whatever
yeah.
technical people.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful, wonderful concept. And so tell our listeners how they can find out more and how they can participate in what you're doing.
Well, the website is pureearth.org. And there you'll see lots of stories and examples of some of the different projects that we've been doing. I've got one very interesting story
okay.
about a cleanup in the Ukraine, a place now that is undergoing great turmoil with the Russian invasion. But we were called in there about 5 or 6 years ago by a local mayor in a small town just outside of Dzerzhinsk, which is the center of the fighting right now.
Oh.
And his town was built around an old Soviet factory that was manufacturing bombs for the war effort.
Oh.
And the factory was quite large. It was a campus of a couple of hundred acres with maybe 5 or 6 large buildings on it, making TNT and maybe even making nerve gas, too, for the Russians, possibly. And when the Soviet Union collapsed, the factory kind of sputtered on for a little while, keeping on manufacturing stuff. But eventually it just stopped, and they never properly decommissioned it or looked after anything. And they left behind thousands of tons, I mean like 5,000 tons of very toxic materials.
Oy.
None of it packaged correctly, and it all started to go down into the groundwater, show up in the town's drinking water, and the life expectancy in the town just started to plummet.
Yeah,
so
understandably.
By the time we got there, you could smell the toxicity in the air. It was really very, very bad, and people weren't living past 45. They were dying of all kinds of acute problems.
So you rallied some... obviously, some resources.
We did. We got some really terrific experts, some from the chemical industry, some from the U.S. Army, because it was kind of an Army issue as well. And we found some funding from the European Commission, who were absolutely wonderful, and then the Swedes as well. And we brought all of that together and ended up packaging these thousands of tons of acutely toxic stuff and getting it carted off to a safe disposal. It was incinerated in a high-temperature plasma incinerator.
Wow.
And destroyed. And then we decommissioned the worst of the buildings. We cleaned them out and ended up composting a lot of other toxic material.
Yeah.
It's now still a toxic site, but it's no longer acute. It's
right.
No longer poisoning people who aren't stepping on top of it. Now it's
right.
Just a place to avoid walking on.
Right.
So,
wow.
Interesting project.
The Ukraine. I'm telling you, this is the fourth time in 2 weeks that I have heard really good things about them focusing on the environment and ethical, all kinds of really cool stuff. I'm really pleased. So do you go to all these places?
I've traveled to a good number of these places.
Wow.
In the last 15 years, we've done maybe 60 projects around the world, from China and India and the Philippines and lots of places in Africa and Latin America as well. And I've visited a good number of most of these places over the years.
Well, I thank you for the work you're doing, and let's keep in touch, because I know that there'll be more wonderful stories and a lot of hope as you clean up our world.
Thank you very much.
And everybody, please check out pureearth.org. And thanks so much, Rich.
Oh, my great pleasure.
Get all the details from this Green Divas My Earth 360 report and lots more on thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com and myearth360.com.
The Green Divas love food. Organic, local, fresh, whole, delicious food. Here now is another Green Diva foodie file.
Another fun segment with Green Diva Lynn. Yay!
And Green Diva Meg.
Yay! Well, it's just extra fun to have Lynn here in the studio.
It's very fun.
So, yeah, so Lynn's staying here at my home and, you know, which happens to have the studio.
I feel very welcome here, having a wonderful time.
She and I have interesting, you know, parallel sort of morning routines, right, in terms of like yoga and smoothies and all that. But I'm introducing you to some new things, right?
Bada bing.
Bada bing. The better butter coffee.
Oh, it's delicious.
Yeah, I kind of stumbled upon this butter coffee concept, And I was reading about it, and I decided to sort of make up my own based on a lot of things I was reading.
Mm-hmm.
And just so people know,
and you're very much a gourmet.
Yeah, I'm feeding Lynn very well. Now she knows why I'm not
or
skinny.
Gourmand.
I don't know.
What
yeah,
is the word?
I think you're right.
Gourmet cook.
Anyway, this butter coffee thing came from this bulletproof coffee. This guy, Dave Asprey, mm-hmm. Some wellness guy, developed. And it has to do with using coconut oil. He uses sort of a souped up coconut oil stuff called MCT oil.
Which I had never heard of before.
Yeah, and a friend of mine gave me some of that when she heard I was doing this butter coffee thing, and I know I'm all over the place, but I'm just saying, I used a whole tablespoon, and I had some really painful results.
Kind of like bullets.
Yes. Liquid bullets,
not
yeah.
so bulletproof.
Not so bulletproof. Anyway, but the whole concept is to use these healthy oils and fats, including grass-fed butter.
Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, butter has been so demonized, and you don't necessarily think of it as being healthy. But the key is the grass-fed part.
Right, because grass-fed, and if you can get it raw and unpasteurized, so much better. But mm-hmm. even the pasteurized version, you know, it has unbelievable amounts. We were reading a couple of different sources that seem, you know, quite reputable, credible. There's more vitamin A. There's more carotene in grass-fed butter than there is in carrots.
Right.
What's up with that?
Who would have thought?
A, B, C, D, E, you know, K, K2. I don't know. It's like, I thought K2 were skis. Anyway.
It's anti-inflammatory also.
Right. Which is, you know, what I've been working with a lot of oils for that for myself. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, this coffee's supposed to help boost your metabolism, and have an effect on your brain, supposed to make us sharper. I don't know if that's happening.
I could use that.
I could use more of that. And so anyway, I just
and
thought...
And you have lost a couple of pounds, you said.
I have. I've lost a couple of pounds since starting this, and I am feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love it.
Oh, I'm obsessed. I can't wait to have some more.
So I've developed this recipe based on a couple of the different sort of credible sources that I have. One was Wellness Mama, mm-hmm. and a couple of other ones. And I just, this is the way I always operate. I have to, you know, make my own.
Right.
But
that's
I combined
the gourmand in you.
The gourmand. The creative geek. And
oui,
so,
oui.
The creative foodie. So what I did was incorporate a couple of the other sort of superfood things that I use for other purposes for me, including organic cinnamon, powdered cinnamon, mm-hmm. a little bit of organic powdered vanilla.
Right.
I use a little bit of cayenne pepper. And, of course, I prefer coconut oil to this MCT stuff, but I'm going to warn people, even with coconut oil, start with maybe a half of a tablespoon and work up to a whole tablespoon, because it can be tough on your system if you're not used to it.
Right.
And I use 1 teaspoon of, that's all,
mm-hmm.
of the grass-fed butter, which we happen to have in our local grocery store.
Yes.
And all this other fun stuff. And I use 1 teaspoon of maple syrup.
Oh, yeah.
In 12 ounces of coffee, because I just want that. And then I use a little bit of the really good powdered stevia, you know, the sort of unadulterated version, not Truvia.
Mm-hmm.
I use just a little, like a half a teaspoon of that.
Right. Could grow your own.
Right. And just to enhance the flavor of the maple syrup without adding a lot of sugar. And mm-hmm. It really, it's like...
And you throw it in a blender.
You throw it in a blender.
Which makes it just is so creamy. You don't have to add milk to it. It's got just this texture that... It's like a dessert.
It's like a fancy latte. It's not too sweet. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of this right mellow, warm, fuzzy,
with
yum.
A little kick to it.
A little kick to it. That's my cayenne pepper. But you don't mm-hmm. even taste the cayenne pepper,
it's not
right?
Like yeah, it's not, hot.
Yeah, you're not like, oh man,
way.
What's up with that?
Right.
No, it's a nice blend.
Bibbidi bobbidi boo. I have to say that.
Yeah, she's decided to name it that. I like that. So anyway, we'll post a recipe with this and check it out.
Try it at home.
We're loving it. Okay, folks, stay tuned. More coming up.
Hope you're hungry. For more easy and delicious recipes and even more foodie information, go to thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
Green Divas are all about buying less and making more. But when we do buy stuff, we try to make sure it is sustainably made and supports healthy green living. Here's something we liked and wanted to share with you. Green Divas product reviews, and boy do I have a backlog, but Green Diva Lynn has a really great one today, especially for the winter.
Oh, let me tell you, I was so thrilled to get this cashmere sweater. It was a unisex sweater, so both I and my son could wear it.
Nice.
I know. Looks better on him, though.
I doubt
that. The cool thing about it is it's nomadic cashmere. It's sourced from these Mongolian nomadic herders by a company called Nadam, and the cool thing is that it helps to support these nomadic herders.
Cool.
They take a percentage of their profits and invest them back into the World Bank's livestock insurance program so that these nomadic herders are protected and their stocks or their livestock is protected.
Nice.
There's a lot of changing weather over there, so they've had a lot of, you know, problems sustaining their living because they lose herd every year. So this is a great program, and it's a beautiful sweater.
So you would say it was fair trade, really? It's supporting.
Yeah, you could. It's
or ethically at the very least.
Ethically sourced.
Yeah, very cool.
And they also mark them up minimally.
Right.
And the cool thing is their spring collection is coming out. I can't wait to see it. Before, when I got my sweater, they just had a unisex version. And now they're coming out with a women's line. And the stuff looks adorable.
The Green Diva line?
Yeah. I want to have one of those.
As they should call it. Okay, well, we'll have to check them out and put another order in.
Definitely. Check out their Facebook page.
Okay. And Nadam is Nadam?
It's Naadam.
Got
double
it.
A goes in the front.
Okay. Check it out, people. To learn about more low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green, please visit thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com.
For centuries, sailors have been hoisting sail, harnessing the power of the wind to create movement. More on that after this.
Everyone wants to be a part of the green movement, and that's a great thing. Going green takes on a whole new meaning when you add tall grass beef to your family's dinner table. It's tender and juicy, and since the cattle graze on the natural grasslands of Kansas, it's also loaded with essential fatty acids and omega-3s that regular grain-fed beef lacks. It's good for you and your family, and good for the earth. For more information and to order Tallgrass Beef online, go to www.tallgrassbeef.com.
As the energy needs of the 21st century increase, wind is becoming an option that can create much-needed power. Wind farms are beginning to become a part of the landscape. Massive turbines that stand out like giant windmills of old, with enormous blades that spin in concert with the wind that blows across the plains. These giant propellers are now found in over 80 countries on Earth and are beginning to generate electricity night and day, even when the wind is near calm, as the stored energy is dispersed onto the power grid. For the most part, the impact on the environment where these turbines reside is minimal. As we continue to improve on the over 5,000 years humanity has turned to the wind, or power. I'm Bill Curtis with Earth Matters.
Wishing you had a green thumb or want to learn more about sustainable gardening outdoors and in? Expert Green Divas and Dude Gardeners share tips for everything from composting to growing herbs in your kitchen. Listen to the Green Divas Green Thumb for low-stress gardening tips.
This is Gardening in 2 Minutes. Peppers can be a wonderful addition to any backyard garden, but getting them started from seed can be tricky if you don't know all the tricks of the trade.
Peppers are a tropical plant to begin with, so when you grow them, you need to mimic their tropical conditions, such as having heat from the bottom when you start the seeds, having proper heat when you put them outside, and proper amounts of sunlight.
Peppers need a lot of heat, as Holly talked about, getting germinated. Now, if you are trying to start your own seeds and you do not have adequate bottom heat, whether that be just a heat pad that you would pull out of your bathroom, or you purchase a specific seed starting heat mat, or you just put them on a radiator at a very warm temperature until they get roots established, this may not be the best thing for you. You may want to utilize your starting seed space with something else and just purchase those pepper starts from an online source or your local retailer. Now, there also is a variety of different peppers, from mild to extremely hot. And you may think you enjoy a hot pepper. One piece of advice we will give you is, before you go and purchase seeds and work and try to get that pepper to grow so you can enjoy that heat of that pepper, find out if you even like that hot intensity of that specific pepper. Try to purchase one online or at your local garden grocery store. Make sure you do like the heat and the flavor of that pepper so you don't waste all that time. So these are just some of the many tips. For more information on growing peppers and the tips that are required to have successful starts, our weekly video productions, as well as our free downloadable digital quarterly magazine, you can find all that information at
thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.
For the health-conscious organic gardener worldwide. For Gardening in 2 Minutes, I'm Joey Baird.
And I'm Holly Baird.
Inspired to grow more organic stuff? We are. To learn more about this Green Diva's Green Thumb episode and all kinds of other great green information, visit thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com.
The Green Divas get to talk to so many inspiring people, who each in their own way is helping us find a deeper shade of green. Here's just one of them. Enjoy.
Restoring every nation. On and on and on. Sustainability. The more we get together. Trusting ecology. Give us what we need. Sweet biomimicry. Learning from nature. Pioneering as we go. Bold innovations. Local as can be. Oh yes we can. On and on and on. Sustainability. Power to the people.
Oh, aren't we a couple of like starstruck little green divas today?
I sure am.
And, you know, who knew that children's music and children's entertainment could be so fun, exciting, and moving at the same time?
I know.
And if anybody doesn't know Raffi, then
I don't know how anybody could
climb out from under your rock.
Right.
Because he is a fabulous children's entertainer. He's an author. But much, much more than that. I am so blown away by the work he's been doing. For children with Center for Children Child Honoring. I probably said that wrong. But I'm going to let Raffi kind of introduce himself here a bit. Hi, Raffi.
Hi, Raffi.
Hello there, Green Divas. Greg and Lynn, it's a pleasure to speak with you today.
Isn't it fun?
It's
like
so fun.
I'm listening to his voice going like, I remember this. I remember this wonderful voice.
Mm-hmm. Robin in the rain. Oh. What a saucy fellow.
Oh. I'm telling you, it's in my head to
Baby
this day.
Baby Beluga, that one too.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
That's in Lynn's head. It's so fun. But, you know, the motivation behind so much of what you have done and what you are doing and continuing to do is not only the love of children and nurturing children, but and honoring children, but the environment and the connection between
community, children, and the environment in our future. So can you talk a little bit about how you've been inspired in this way?
Yeah, I was inspired initially by my former wife, who was a kindergarten teacher. She taught me all about respect for the child as a whole person. She taught me that young children are as whole at their age, you know, of 2 or 3 years old, as anybody is in their life continuum. So that was a real learning for me. And respect became the core value throughout my four-decade career of making music for children. And I've also been inspired by musical greats like Pete Seeger.
Oh, well,
was the original sing-along concert guy. And he was just so loving and, you know, caring about all the right things, the earth, you know, social values, social justice. So I've been inspired all my life through Martin Luther King and the civil rights movement, all kinds of, you know, progressive movements. And I think I'm lucky that Music for Children has given me an opportunity to express the universal love and the caring values in various ways in my songs, right from the first album, Singable Songs for the Very Young, right on through Baby Beluga, through Banana Phone in the 1990s, and now with my new Love Bug CD for kids.
Aw, Love Bug. I'm going to have to get that for my grandbabies because they are 3 and 4 and they love singing. I just took a video this morning of my granddaughter coming up the stairs. I heard her singing and then she stopped and I said, would you sing again? And I recorded it because it was so adorable.
So cute.
She made up a little song about being a ballerina.
And you see, the thing is, with these little ones that we adore, if we're serious about honoring them and loving them, we, of course, need to respect the bountiful earth, you know, which is their mother, Mother Earth.
Right.
That phrase, we've got to take it seriously because earth is where we all live. Earth is what sustains us. And so the child-honoring philosophy that I've developed over the years is quite simple. It's an integrated philosophy that says how we regard and how we treat the priority needs of the very young among us is the key to shaping humane societies that can therefore be sustainable. You can't have a sustainable society that's not humane.
Right. I also love what you say on the site, on your child nurturing site about,
the child honoring site?
Yes. That we're guardians of their prosperity. So we have to honor the bountiful earth and their original blessings here to learn their own song. I think that is
That line really floored me. I think that's when I almost cried because these are the kinds of values that are so real and they strike a chord.
Thank you. You're quoting the Covenant for Honoring Children, which came to me in 1999. It's a 3-paragraph document of what I call emancipation for children. And it was inspired by the Declaration of Independence. And that's why the first line says, we find these joys to be self-evident.
Yeah, I noticed
that. All children are created whole, endowed with innate intelligence, and so on.
It's beautiful.
It is. And there are 9 principles. And then there's a picture there in the middle of these fabulous principles, which I think we all need to read and incorporate, of you and the Dalai Lama, which, you know, was really, that must have been pretty intense. Have you met him more than once?
Yes, it was beautiful. I went to visit him in his office in India, in northern India, in Dharamsala. And he loved the child-honoring concept. He really gets it about starting young and how the nurturing relationship between mother and child, between parent and child, is a key to raising, you know, peace-loving, compassionate, resourceful citizens. And isn't that what we want in our neighborhoods?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if as a society we take seriously what I call the priority needs of the very young, and why are they priority? Because they're in their formative years. What does the word formative mean? It means that their brains and their hearts and their minds are forming a sense of what it feels to be human. Nothing less than that. That's a big deal. So in the early years, that's when we feel what it is to be a human being. Right. And we can only learn that through the proper modeling by parents and caregivers, right? As we learn the emotional intelligence, which means the relational, consideration that we give to people and so on. But we learn all that at a young age. And that's why psychologists now say, and those who work with children know, the years before school are even more important than the formal school learning in terms of shaping the tone, the emotional tone of a person's being that has a lifetime of outcomes.
Have you ever, I'm sure you've heard of Waldorf education and Rudolf Steiner.
Yeah.
That there's a whole philosophy there about the first 7 years of a child's life being basically magical. And he has all these very specific suggestions, which I tried to do. I think I failed. But you shouldn't even cut a child's hair until they're seven.
Well, there's much positive that we can, get from the Waldorf system. There are other systems as well of learning that respect the child. In Finland and in other countries in Europe, formal education doesn't start till the child is seven. Because, again, the work of the early years is play. It's through play that young children learn how to try on the world for size and how to imagine their place in it. And they're excellent at doing that. So we don't need to come in with formal learning too early. I think that disrupts actually their sense of the magical and the powerful role of imagination in their young lives.
Yeah, I think I instinctively kind of leaned that way, and that's why the Waldorf system sort of appealed to me, although it had its extremes.
Yeah.
And that's probably why I loved Raffi.
And still do.
And still do.
And you have some adult music as well.
I did a couple of CDs, one in 2006 called Resisto Dancing, and one in 2009 called Communion. And there are some songs here that I think beluga grads would enjoy, actually.
That's a funny way to put it, beluga grads. I love that.
People can go on the childhonoring.org site. Honoring is spelled the Canadian way, H-O-N-O-U-R-I-N-G.
Mm-hmm.
And they can click down the Raffi menu to motivational songs and find these albums. Or they can go to the store on the Child Honoring site and find the music for adults as well.
Well, so as much as I love the songs that I sang with my children and in my head to this day, Green Diva Confession, still singing Robin in the Rain, he's such a salty fellow. I was listening to the Communion, some of the songs on Communion, and was really, really touched. And there's one there, Sustainability, that I'm hoping we're going to play during this show, because it's fun and articulate, and it's for us Robin in the Rain graduates. So do you have any preference when you perform, whether you're performing for children or adults? Do you prefer either?
Well, generally, the concerts I do are family concerts.
Parents
bring their kids for an hour-long sing-along, and often it's the adults who are singing the loudest of all.
Yes.
So I'm very lucky. In the Pete Seeger tradition, I have this fortunate situation for an entertainer to have audiences that love to sing. So it's very much like we're playing with the music, you know. And can I tell you about a couple of concerts I have coming?
Oh, please do.
I'll be in Seattle on January 31 at the Neptune Theater at 1 p.m. There are good tickets available for that.
Oh, and we definitely have some people out there that have to go check that out.
So that's January 31 in Seattle at the Neptune. And the following day, February 1, I'm in Portland, Oregon at the Aladdin Theater, and the 1 p.m. show got sold out. So we added a 4 p.m. show.
Oh, great.
Folks in Portland can see if there are any tickets left for that one.
Oh, it's good to be popular, huh?
Anything coming to Chicago or the New York area anytime?
Not just yet, but you never know. In the fall, there might be something brewing. I don't do tours like I used to when I was younger. Now that I'm in my mid 60s, I generally do.
You can't age.
I do. Yeah, really. Tell that to my maker.
I know. Right?
I do clusters of shows, like, you know, say a weekend might have three different cities or something. You know, I do it like that. I don't go out 3 weeks at a time like I used to. So I do what I can, you know?
Yeah. Well, aren't we lucky? I mean, and you mentioned Pete Seeger, and there aren't many performers who do the tradition, the sort of folk and wonderful tradition of sing-along. And he's one of my heroes just as a human being, let alone I love all of the music. Mm-hmm. So I am really just so happy that you're doing what you're doing and you're carrying on that tradition, which is, well, he leaves a big, big wake behind, doesn't
mm-hmm.
he?
And all of us, you know, we can internalize the magic of Pete Seeger and people like him and embody the values as best we can. On my last CD, my very latest one called Love Bug, I have a tribute to Pete called Pete's Banjo, in which it's an instrumental I play on the guitar. I make the guitar sound like a banjo.
Really?
And then a banjo chimes in, a bass, and a fiddle. And then I do a song that I've sung with Pete. It was written by Woody Guthrie.
Hmm.
I do my version of This Land Is Your Land.
Great.
Yeah, that I can't wait to hear that one. I have to go listen to that one next. Now, I think I actually did see when you said a little while ago you talked about the family performance and mm-hmm. people. I think I saw you in Great Barrington, Massachusetts.
Oh. It
would have been in the mid-80s. I'm sure you have no memory of it. I barely
you
do.
You were in the third row.
Yeah, yeah, that cute one with the little girls. But I just had this, you know, sudden memory, and I was like, oh, yeah, I think I remember this. And it was like the highlight of my freaking decade. But anyway, so go ahead, Lynn.
Oh, no, I saw on your child honoring site that you also have a take action tab to sign a plea. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's a plea to faith leaders to acknowledge the sanctity of the child.
Okay.
You can simply read the very simple plea and add your name to the list of signatories. You know, I think the child, as I'm fond of saying, is the universal human, because the baby of any culture in the world is the same physiological being.
Yeah.
So whether the baby is Pakistani or mm-hmm. Irish or
right.
French or Portuguese, it just doesn't matter. This is the same human heartbeat.
Right.
That's what we have in the baby. So the child is the universal human, and I think that faith traditions can recognize, as I say, the sanctity of the child. And so that's what it's about, nonviolence, you see. It's
mm-hmm.
about respect. And nonviolence is a child-honoring principle. It's one of the nine principles. And as physicians vow to do, we all can take the vow to first do no harm.
Yeah,
that's the key.
Right. Well, we'll definitely share that that link for people to sign that plea. I mean, everybody. Why wouldn't anybody? Why would someone decide not to sign that?
Yeah, we'll
get it out
there. Share that up. But I love the concept of remembering that children are not born with preconceived notions of who to love or hate or dislike or be afraid of. You know, they're taught that socially. So
yep.
I am going to be much more conscious of this right. now with my grandchildren at
mm-hmm.
the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, my daughter is actually very conscious. So I don't know. I'm just feeling the love. I'm all peaced out now, Raffy.
And what's next for you after all of these things that you have going on? What's your next step?
I had so much fun recording the Love Bug album that I'm planning another one. I've got songs brewing. And,
wow.
And I'll probably record it from now till about May.
Okay.
And I'm hoping it'll be out in the fall.
Great.
I've got some Canadian cities I'm doing concerts in, and you know, so there's always, and I'm on Twitter. I'm fairly active on Twitter. I tweet,
yeah, we've seen that.
Social justice issues.
Yeah,
and you know, peace, love, and groovies.
Of course, that's how we found you. It's very I love that positive aspect of the social media community. That's how Lynn and I met. You know, there is this positive side to it all, to this digital world, and there are communities of wonderful things going on.
Yeah, and I even wrote a new baby beluga verse for beluga graduates who are now adults with their own kids.
Oh.
Some of them haven't had their kids yet.
Can you give us a sneak preview?
Please.
That'd be great.
It goes like this. It says, now you've grown and you're on your way, making waves in the boundless bay, with your shining light and your dreams alive, for the ones you'll have one day. Do-do-do-do-do. Grown up beluga, grown up beluga, sing a song of peace, sing with all your friends, we need to hear you.
Oh,
oh my God.
We're being serenaded by Raffi.
Seriously, I'm going to cry again. What the heck?
That's sweet.
I'm a mushball now.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Raffi.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, hopefully we'll get to speak to you again as things evolve. We'll stay in touch, and we'll see you on Twitter.
And if you're ever in New York, you got to come to the studio. The studio is outside of New York.
Okay.
Thank you, Raffi.
Thanks, Raffi.
Thanks so much.
It's a pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Right, mine too. Bye-bye.
Hope you enjoyed that as much as they did. Please visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. For more fun podcasts and information on the Green Divas and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to look for this and other Green Diva Network podcasts on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, iTunes, Swell Radio, and Spreaker. Get social with the Green Divas on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Subscribe to the Green Divas YouTube channel to watch them in action. And for all the latest good green news, visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.